Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 16 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 16 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter number 16. I stated last week that we're going to be a little bit over the next just two Sundays, especially on Sunday morning, Sunday nights. We're going to kind of tear away from several of our series that we've been in. We'll come back to our Heroes of the Faith series very soon, but we're going to be a little bit topical and a little bit in application. We're going to really be topical and kind of concentrating on growing as individuals, growing as a church, and really particular kind of growing our souls together. We looked at last week preparing for 2022, a renovated life and running the race that you and I run. And so today I'd like to for us to look at Psalm chapter number 16. So would you please stand for the reading of God's word, Psalm chapter number 16. I want us to look at the very last verse here in Psalm 116. And I want us to look at verse number 11 in the word of God. Psalm chapter number 16. Would you please follow along as I read in verse number 11. The Bible says this: Thou wilt show me the path of life. Thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David wrote this psalm. This psalm really matches kind of five other psalms in the historical background of what David is going through in his life. It's a very trying time that David is going through, and through these six psalms, we see that David begins to explain and to give us kind of the definition of what real joy is, no matter what the circumstances of life is that you and I are going through. These psalms kind of begin to lay out how you and I truly can live a joyful life. And so as we look at Psalm chapter number 16 and kind of concentrate on one phrase here in verse number 11, I want us to look at the subject of the best year ever. The best year ever. Concentrating on making this one count. Making 2022 count. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, so much for a new year. Father, for some, 2021 was a difficult year. We all remember 2020. Lord, as we're 2 years now removed from that craziness, I ask, Father, that we would make this year count. Father, what if a million years ago You had determined that this was the year You'd come back? Father, we don't know when that's going to be. No man does. But You do, Father. And Lord, if it's going to be this year, then how do we make it count? How do we make this the best year ever? Father, spiritually speaking, where do You want us to develop and grow and live for You this year? I ask, Father, for clarity of thought today. I ask, Savior, that You'd meet with us and that, Father, You would, in a big way, Savior, Lord, that You would work and that You, Father, would grow us where we need to grow. Father, in my life, I ask personally this year that this would be a year that I'd live it for You. And everything that we do and say today, Father, I ask that we'd concentrate on Your word. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, here it is. We are at another new year. The beginning. It's fresh. It's new. For many of us, we like today. 2021, for many, was a very intense year. As I look around this auditorium, there is no doubt that for many of us in this very auditorium, it was some upside downs, some good, some great. But then there were some valleys. There were some trials that you and I went through. I remember it was just last year at this time, Carrie and I had moved across the country from California, and we were up in the apartment at this time and spent January and I guess 2 or 3 weeks into February. And we were up there and we began to, during this time, look at our dreams and our aspirations, setting some goals for this next year. And as we begin to look at this next year, just right up there, it's hard to believe it was already a year ago, we began to kind of lay out what we really wanted for this next year, for what was going to be 2021. And I remember several things, Carrie, as I look back at my journal that you and I wrote down. I remember writing down this phrase that Carrie and I wanted to live every day. And I put this in all caps. I said, we want to live every day to the max. M-A-X. And I put it in all caps. We want to live every day to the max. You say, Pastor, why is that? Well, for anyone in this room that has lived any certain amount of time at all, and especially in Christ, you and I have realized that life does not consist of what should have happened or what might have happened or what hopefully will happen. But life is about what is happening right now. You see, some of the greatest regrets that individuals and especially Christians will have in their life is that what if moment. What if this would have took place? What if I would have made that decision? What if I would have stepped out? What if I would have given my life? What if I would have taken that job? There are many that live their entire life with, what if only, those if only regrets. 2020 or 2021 may have been one of those years that you came through it. If only I would have done this, and if only I would have done that, if only I could turn back time. And let me put it this way today. There are many that are living their life in 2014, 15, 16, 17, over the last decade, they're living with those what if only moments. What if, what if, what if? Let me tell you this way, friend. I'm going to move past this pretty quickly, but I do have a long introduction, so don't panic when we get to point number one. But I'm going to put it this way. That is no way to live. No, that's no way to live just going through life of, if I only would have done, if I only. There are many who are in their fourth quarter of their life, and their entire fourth quarter or overtime of their life here on earth is looking back with the regrets of, if I only would have done this, or if I only could take back that day, or if I only would have. No, friend, comprehend this. You and I can live a life. You and I can live a life of joy. You and I can live a life for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be tomorrow. And it doesn't have to be yesterday. The life that you and I can live is right here in this moment. That's why the book of James said it like this. Whereas you not know what shall be on the morrow? You don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. For what is your life? Think about that question. What is your life, friend? Christian, what is your life? He continues and says, it is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, that's the life that you and I are to live. Then we shall live or do this or that. Well, what the author is saying here is that you and I don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week holds. You and I don't know if we're going to be around. We don't know what 2022 is going to be like politically. We don't know what 2022 is going to be like in our climate. You and I don't know what it's going to be like for our health or for our family or in college or raising grandkids. Friend, you and I don't know what tomorrow is. But listen, you and I ought to have the phrase, the word, this habit, this habitual foundation of, if the Lord wills, here's what I'm going to do. If the Lord wills, here's how I'm going to dream. If the Lord wills, here's what we are going to accomplish in 2022. So here we are. Now watch. Here we are. It's a brand new year. It's 2022. Now, for many of you, maybe yesterday, it was kind of cool that it landed on a Saturday. But for many of us, it was, okay, we're heading into a new year. It's Saturday. So what do we do? 6 in 10 Americans this past year, this past week, sat down and set some resolutions for our life. There were some goals that we planned out. For many of you, maybe it's like me, and I remember this. I remember Carrie and I wrote this down last year as well. We said we're going to lose some weight. And I remember I wrote down for 2021. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to lose 10 pounds. That was my goal, 2021. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. And I'd like to say today, friend, I am only 15 pounds away from meeting that goal. So you ought to be proud of this preacher. Understand? We sit down and you'll maybe write down. I want to read so many books. I'm going to read through the Bible once or twice this year. I want to love God more. I want to do this more. I want to be a better person, or I want to be a better spouse, or I want to be a better mom, or be a better dad. There's things that we write down as resolutions. But here's where I want to turn the subject. Now watch. Why? Why? Why do we write these things down? Why do we have all of these resolutions? Most of the time it's because we failed in the past year. So instead of being sad where we failed, we once again make an attempt to do something, watch now, that is an attempt to bring joy in our life. But in all the things that you and I write down, does it bring real joy? In all the things that you and I want to accomplish this year, is it truly, really, honestly, in every resolution that you made, if we got to the end of this year and we're entering into 2023 and God has not come back, is it going to bring you and I real joy? You see, many of us live with this incredible tension and anxiety because we think that our dreams will come true if we just get the right degree, or if we just meet the right person, or if we just get the right job. We assume happiness is tied to our success, and our success depends on our performance. So we sweat and we struggle and we scheme and we strategize and we wonder why. Watch now, in 2022, it's just like 2021, and we're not enjoying life at all. Every week is a struggle to be happy. Every week is a struggle to be motivated. Every week is a struggle to get out of bed. Every week is a struggle to be joyful. Comprehend this. Why? Why, Christian? Why is it that we get discouraged? Why is it that we can't find real joy? Why is it we'll make a list of 20 things that we want to accomplish this year, and even if we accomplish half, why is it that we go into the next year and we still are not experiencing real joy? Comprehend this. Although it should be the norm for Christians, do you know that many Christians don't experience real joy ever? The norm for you and I, you want to use the word new normal? Use it. But when you and I became a new Christian, we should experience joy. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Joy in Jesus Christ. And yet some can go days, weeks, or months operating almost in this joyless mode. This mode of I'm empty on the inside, or I'm diligent going through the motions, and maybe even sometimes we comprehend things, but or we complete things, or we check them off, or we're diligent in or being successful at something, and yet still there is that time that goes by that, man, there's these joy killers in our life. See, oftentimes we blame it on circumstances. Well, Pastor, I'll tell you why I'm not happy. It's because, so-and-so said something, and they did something to me, or they did something to my wife, or they did something to my husband, they did something to my parents. You know, this coworker, this manager, that they're this or they're that. And all of a sudden, we start saying that our joy was robbed. Check it out now, by someone. We'll say it like this. I don't have real joy this past year because of circumstances that came into my life. I don't have real joy in my life because of something or someone that snuck in and began to rob me of what I feel like was rightfully mine. Joy and happiness. And yeah, okay, we talk about the best year ever, but let's be honest with you. Because of circumstances at a job or a workplace or a neighbor or a teenager or a college student or a relationship or a coach, they robbed me of what was mine. Listen now. Jesus said it like this, and your joy, now watch, this is going to mess with your theology here, and your joy, no man taketh from you. You see, when we begin to realize that having the best year ever is not about circumstances, that true joy is not based on the way that we are treated by someone else, then you and I begin to comprehend and realize that the normal life in Jesus Christ is so much more than what the foolishness and the selfishness and the craziness and the upside down world can offer or give you and I. Joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is not based on people. Our joy truly is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. How many are saved today? Would you say amen? No, hold on. That wasn't everybody. Some of you are like, why aren't we at point one yet? It's 11:32. Chill out, bubs, okay? It's the new year. I think we get extra time. We'd start at 11 o'clock. Give me a break, okay? Now, we'll be here in just a moment. But how many are really saved and you're happy you're saved? Do you say amen today? Okay, you know, that's joy. Like, we don't have to go to hell. Like, we all should say amen at that. That's pretty cool, right? We don't have to spend an eternity in a place that was created for Satan and his angels. You and I get to go to heaven. How many are excited to one day get to heaven? Say amen. Now, for young people, I know young people, you're in college, you're like, I can't wait to get a boyfriend, a girlfriend. You're not really looking forward to heaven right now. But I'm telling you, some of you that walked in here with some canes and a little bit of a hoary head, you're just like, oh yeah, bring it on, baby. I mean, we are ready for heaven. I'm ready to be in heaven so there's no more flu. How many are with me on that? Say amen. I'm so sick of the flu and getting sick. Like, it's like, I was asking a nurse here at the church, and it's just this time of year. It's this time of year. Everybody's going to get sick. You know, in heaven one day, we're not going to wake up and be groggy or sick or have red eyes or snotty nose. Isn't that going to be great? Amen. Maybe it's me because I'm raising five kids, but nonetheless, heaven's going to be great one day. We're going to experience real joy, but you know, you and I can have joy right here on this earth. But to have the best year ever, we're going to have to be careful of some things that's going to steal our joy. The first thing that will steal our joy, number one, is this, is a shortage of devotions. A shortage of devotions. Look at verse number 11 here, verse chapter 16 of Psalm. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Now watch what it says. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is joy. You see, a neglect of personal time with God often precedes a lack of joy. The Lord is our source of joy, and the promises of His Word, it sustains our joy. But too often we don't draw from God's Word like we should. That's why Paul said it like this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Comprehend this, listen now, what's going to steal our joy this year is a lack of personal time with God. It's having and being in the very presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Devotional time with God allows us to recalibrate our hearts to His. Time in the Word of God will unburden our hearts before the Lord and allow you and I to rejoice in Him. That means this, friend, if you're heading into this year, it's already January 2nd, I think one of the first things on our resolution list, whether you make it or not, one of the things that you and I ought to work on this year. Now, you listen to this. Watch this now. You and I ought to work on our relationship with Him. If you believe that, say amen. I mean, spending time in the Word. If you came today and you're relying on Pastor Shepherd to feed you spiritually to get you through until the next Sunday morning. Friend, I'm going to put it this way. You are going to spiritually starve to death. You're never going to make it. Every young person in this room today, we got all of our kids in here. Let me tell you something, young kids. Let me tell you something. For all of our college students who are back home, whether you're here in a public university or just a community college, or whether you're in a Bible college somewhere, let me tell you something, friend. We're now in the new year. This is not a time to slack off. This is not a time to back off. This is a very time for you and I to get into the very Word of God. Why? Because this is joy. This is the source of our joy. You and I are going to go through life, and when we have our eyes on Facebook and CNN and Fox News and TikTok, I'm going to tell you, let me put it like this, friend. You and I are going to be discouraged, and you and I are going to be down, and you and I are going to live in fear. But friend, you just open up the old Word of God and let Him begin to talk to you and I. And friend, that's where you and I will find encouragement. That's where you and I will find joy. That's where you and I will find the source of why you and I are here. It's, watch that, it's being in and diving in. Now hold on. Watch this. I don't have a loud whistle. I really wish I did, but I did not inherit that from my mother. She does. She, I mean, the girl can just, she busts your eardrums. I don't, but watch this. You probably ought to be glad I don't, because I'd be doing it all the time. But watch this now. Now, here's what we do. Independent Fundamental Baptist. Here's what we do. Well, Pastor said we're supposed to be in our Bible more.
So I'm going to mark down, and I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to set out a plan. Now, are plans bad? Nope, plans are good. Plans are necessary. You want to work out? You want to get stronger physically? And we got some guys in our church and some women in our church that are doing that. They're on a new plan. And, okay, you got it. You have to start somewhere. You got to pick up a two-pound weight. It's usually pink. It's so embarrassing. But then you move up to the green and then the yellow and then the blue. And when you're in the blue, you're getting there, buddy. But then you'll get to the metal, and that's where men like me are. But nonetheless, I'm just totally joking. But you'll get there. What do? You're working out. Now, friend, listen. Don't make a religion out of your devotional life. Talk to Him. Let Him talk to you. Let Him see you. Let Him reveal Himself to you. See, what we do as Baptists so often, times I don't pick on Baptists, I am. I believe the fundamentals of the faith. I'm independent Baptist through and through, but I'm here to tell you, friend, growing up in the bubble that we've grown up in, here's what we do so often. We put God in this little box. We give Him 6.5 minutes a day on our little Bible app or our little devotional, and we get through and we read and we say our 25-second prayer, and boom, we check it off our list just like we do brushing our teeth, and we walk out of that room, and 5 seconds later, we no more remember what we just read. As a friend, I'm just putting it this way. You and I ought to have a relationship with Him. And that means this. Let's work on reading through, getting in, diving in. Who cares if the other person reads for an hour? It doesn't matter. Look, stop comparing your devotional life to everybody else. And may you and I dive into His Word. Number one, it's a shortage of devotions. Number two, it's an unappreciative attitude. Number two, it is an unappreciative attitude. You see, the longer you and I live, the more you and I will see the root of many sins is ingratitude. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 68, verse number 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. See, an ungrateful spirit leads to, I guess we could really say, melancholy. It bends our mind toward introspection, focusing our hearts on our needs rather than our blessings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, what's going to rob our joy this year is an unappreciative attitude. It really, truly, if you and I are not careful, we will enter into this year and we're looking at everything that we do not have. I often ask kids at Cross Point this over the last 7 weeks, hey, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? And it's so funny to hear their answer. Either it's a yes flat out or it's a no flat out. Well, yeah, I got everything I wanted. Yeah, I was playing with this. What'd you get? And some people are like, no, you know, I asked for and for whatever reason did not get, and they didn't get this or that. Little kids, we can't pick on them because you and I are the exact same way. We're going to waltz into 2022 with an unappreciative attitude towards what God has done for you and for me. Friend, you know, sometimes in life, it doesn't always go the way that we want it to go. I look around this auditorium today, and let me tell you, I can pick out different people in this room that things didn't go as planned. Things don't always go the way that we want them to. You and I do go through storms and trials and hard times. But let me put it this way. Comprehend this. There is still a God in heaven that loves you and I. And that God sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross. And I'm afraid at times in the culture and the society and the unbelievable blessings that has been bestowed upon our nation, the United States, and upon you and I as Hoosiers. Let me tell you something, friend. Oftentimes we forget. We enter into a new year and we forget about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and what He sacrificed for you and for me. It's an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of love and comprehension of what you and I have in Him. It's a comprehension of, okay, maybe we don't have everything that's on our wish list, but let me tell you something, friend. We do have a Savior that loves you and I. It is not only a shortage of devotions and unappreciative attitude, but you know something else that's going to rob our joy this year is dreaming without God. Let me tell you something, high school student, listen for this here just a moment. It's dreaming, number three, without God. This really builds on from our last point here about unappreciative attitude, but when our spirit becomes burdened with the difficulties of life because we have neglected to thank God for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us, listen now, we really begin to look at how green the grass is over here or how much better somebody has it over here. Watch now, listen. Dreaming outside of the will of God is tricky because we can easily believe that it's God's will for us to look over the fence. Be careful, friend, when your mind is out in the prairie of what ifs, you'll not regain your joy for where you are right now. It's dreaming outside of the will of God. Paul said it like this, but none of these things move me. Neither count I myself dear unto myself, so I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. If you're dreaming of a better life, friend, you better make sure God is in that dream. The Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, there are many today that have all of these dreams and they're looking at tomorrow and they're looking at the next day and they're looking at the next year and all of these dreams and aspirations. Let me tell you something, college student. Listen, young person. You and I have got to be very, very careful that our dreams are not outside of the box of what God wants for our life. If you believe that, say amen today. We all have dreams. We all have aspirations. We all have things we want to work on. But I'm going to ask us this question today. Where is God in that dream? Where is He in that dream? I usually do this on Sunday nights, and I know we have some visitors here, but I don't want you to be embarrassed. I just want to ask you, if you are a high school or college student, would you please stand for just a moment? If you're in high school or you're in college, I don't care if you're visiting or not, just stand up for just a moment. Hurry now, hurry. Guy or girl, doesn't matter. Good, we have some visitors here. You're standing. Thank you so much. You're in high school or college. No, I do this on Sunday nights, and we address our kids, but you know what? Sometimes you just go with the flow for a moment. I'm going to talk to you for just 1 minute. Give me 1 minute. Let me talk to you just for your age group for just a moment. Do you know, young person, that you are the next? That means this. If you're using the hashtags, you're hashtag generation next. That's you. You're the up and comings. You're coming up behind. I came up behind a generation like Pastor Defoe and Pastor Dan and others. And it's my responsibility right now. I followed God's will for my life. My wife followed God's will for her life. And guess what? Carrie, why don't you stand here for just a moment and come up here for just a second. Now, listen, young person. I want you to watch this. For Carrie and I, we had a lot of dreams. There's a lot of things in our life that we wanted to accomplish before we ever met each other. And I'm not going to forget this. Listen, look, Paul's doing this. A lot in the overflow as well. Now, if you can't see me, look at the screen for just a moment, but watch. There were a lot of things that I dreamed in my life. My dad was a hospital administrator for many, many years, and I thought I was going to follow in his footsteps. I went to university Everett, Washington, right up there in the Seattle area. And man, the first year I was going to go to business school and decided at camp 1 year I was going to give 1 year of my life to Bible college. Just 1 year. Okay, God, I'll give you 1 year. You got it. 8 months. Do it or don't. I don't care, but I'm going to go. And I went. God got a hold of my life. But He didn't call me in that year. He didn't do anything. I just went. Year number two, guess what happened? Man, God's not doing anything. These people are called to preach. They're called to lead youth pastors. Nothing in my life. Okay, God, I'll give you another year. Went year number three. Do you know something, friend? In that year, God began to get a hold of my heart. Not because I gave Him a year, but because I finally decided to give Him my life. And God came in and began to stir my call to preach. And all of a sudden, I, I met this girl right here. Her name was Carrie Clayton. Remember, we were in an English class together, and I cheated off her paper. And no, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Good grief. So we're like, oh, my goodness. Look, so and I met Carrie. I never forget. Carrie would begin to date, and man, we get to know each other. And you know, our very first, so check this out, our very first conversation was about missions. You remember that? We had a birthday party for Hope Clayton. And we were there, and you begin to tell me about your mission trips, and I begin to tell you about mine. And all of a sudden, our hearts begin to come together. And let me tell you something, young person, as I hold my wife's hand today, we have stopped dreaming for our family and for ourselves. And we've started letting God dream for us. Let me tell you something, friend. Young person, you let God dream for you. He will give you the best life you can ever imagine. Look, I'm not driving a Tesla, and I don't have a big house, and we don't have millions of dollars in the bank. But let me tell you something. If I had all that, it wouldn't matter, because my joy is not in those things. My joy is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I gave my life to Him, friend, what He has done over the last, how many years? 15, 16 years, something like that. Oh, my word. I ruined it. 16 years. 16 years. Let me tell you something. Let God dream for you. Let God dream for you, young person. Because I'm telling you, at that moment, we have traveled 10 years pastoring in West Virginia, 3 years in California, a year now in the Hoosier State. Man, we're Hoosiers. Whether you accept it or not, we're here. We're here to stay. So get over it, friend. Let me tell you something. We are the happiest we've ever been in our life. Am I telling the truth on that? You want to preach right here, don't you? You just go, girl. You just go. Let me tell you something. Girls in this room, find a lady like this and talk to her. Find a lady like this. What do I do? Where do I go? I don't know. God's not. I don't know what to. No. Find someone like this, because I'm telling you, you start dreaming without God, you will ruin or at least really mess up your life. You have no comprehension of what real joy is. Thank you, Kara. Thank you, young people. Until you get alone and start dreaming with God in your life. Now watch this, and we're almost done this morning. I want you to write this down. Number four is this. It's conflicts in relationships. Friend, I'm going to move quickly through this, because this is going to come out in another message here very soon. But I just want to be real respectful and talk to you as your family for a moment. 2021 may have robbed you of some joy because you let somebody else rob it from you. You got so mad, you got so upset because you were treated wrong at work, that every day that's all you could think about. You got so mad, so upset because that professor, you got so mad, so upset because that, what, fill in the blank. You let them rob your joy from you. You want the best year ever? Stop putting your joy in the hands of other people. And start putting it in the hands of Jesus Christ. Jesus instructed you and I, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault before thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou, watch now, thou hast gained a brother. The phrase, thou hast gained a brother, reveals the high priority that Jesus puts on relationships. A stored relationship is a gain. It's a win for both parties. As we continue here this next year, 2022, I'm going to put it this way, friend. We have got to continue forward, and we have got to be one unit. We are the family of God. If somebody has got fault or odd with you, if somebody has hurt you, go to that brother and address it and fix it. And let's move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're with me, say amen today. Move together. If I use Pastor Foe so often, because it doesn't mind, I use Brother George or Brother Marks. I use everybody. But Pastor Foe and I, if we had aught against each other, if we're going to have real joy, Pastor Foe, if we don't, but if we had aught, if we want real joy moving into this year, Pastor Foe, we got to fix that. We got to talk it out. We may not see eye to eye, But let me put it this way. If we can at least come to reason and know that we are here for a reason and we got to join arm in arm for the gospel of Jesus Christ, friend. The Bible says this way. You've gained a brother. I've gained a friend. I've gained a prayer warrior. I've gained someone who can give me wisdom in my life. Watch this now. Don't let somebody rob your joy this year. Don't let a teenager rob your joy. Don't let a coach ruin your joy. Don't let a boss ruin you. Don't let a manager. Don't let another Christian take your joy from you. No. You find your base, your step. You find who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your identity. You're part of the family of God. Then move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I may never get "I'm sorry." You and I may never have somebody weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. "Oh, I hurt you." I'm saying, no. Oh, you and I may never get that. But let me put it this way. Don't let somebody rob us this year. Conflicts in relationship. Now watch this and we'll be done. Don't shut your Bibles. We're done right here. Number 5, bad investments. Investments, if you think about that word. It's been in this room. Maybe you made, monetarily speaking, some good money this year. I'm not talking about investments in monetary means. What I'm talking about for a moment is spiritually. It's you and I investing ourselves in souls. The Bible says, "He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again." Now watch what the wording says here. "With rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved and long for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." You see, this next year, here's what's going to take place. We're either going to invest in this life or we're going to invest in the one that's to come. You and I can take this year and we can invest in saving up, and we're going to invest in the things that even Carrie and I have planned for this year. There's some things that, man, we're ready for, and some traveling, and here's some things we want to do at the church. And, man, we're excited about all those things. But let me tell you, let me put it this way. May you and I not invest this entire 365 days that God has given us just for this life. What if you and I took this year and invested in souls? Amen. Invested in telling someone else. I've used the illustration, I don't have time this morning, but you know, so often I talk about this past year, and I never forget Deb Fulford coming to my office and asking for one lady by the name of Michelle. Never met Michelle. "Would you pray for Michelle?" "Yeah, I'll pray for Michelle." "You got any books to give?" "Yeah, here's where we're at." "Okay, we pray." Boom, Michelle comes to church. After about 6, 7, 8 weeks, Michelle comes and walks the aisle. I think it was Miss Laura, if I'm not mistaken, took her back in the office, and Michelle gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Michelle starts inviting the next door neighbor named Addison. Addison comes. Several weeks later, Addison gives her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them are baptized. Addison starts inviting two other friends. Two other friends come on the front row. Pastor Fitzgerald walks out of his seat, walks up to these two young men. We're talking about somebody who's a lot older, but nope, wants to invest in them. Says, "Hey, you guys been saved?" "No, I don't think so. I'm not sure." "Okay." Grabs Coach Schellenberg, and I'm not sure, Pastor Chris or somebody else, Pastor Dan, I think it was. Took him in the side office. All of a sudden, two more guys come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Hold on, wait. Pastor, yeah, we've heard this story before. Okay, stop talking about Michelle and Addison. Okay, well, hold on. It's just real life that's happening right now. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to get excited about football? Go ahead. But I'm getting excited about souls. Oh, we only get excited about soccer. We only get excited about Christmas break. Woohoo! Guess what? It's going to be over and done. But we're going to live with these for the rest of our life up there in heaven. It's you and I investing in souls. I want everybody to think for a moment. I ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I just want us as a congregation to think for just a moment. When's the last time you and I personally won somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it. You want joy in your life? Win somebody to Christ. You want real joy? You want happiness? take that word of God and begin to share with somebody the goodness and the grace and the love that He bestowed upon you and I, and that it's free to them. Friend, invest in souls this year. You and I want joy. It's not going to come in a car. Oh, I beg to differ. Okay, well, it might be there for a little while, but cars get old. Technology gets old. Good grief. The phones we bought 2 years ago, they hardly work anymore. This world, these bodies, those vacations, it all wears out. The joy eventually fades. But you and I invest in souls this year. That joy and that crown and that person will live with us for all of eternity in a place called heaven. The best year ever. Let's not let anything rob our joy this year.